Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And I don't have any co-host here tonight, but that's because I got a great guest tonight. And we're going to be talking with Candace Scherer in a second. We're talking about elder care planning tonight. We will let you call in if you have an issue with elder care. And call in, and you can ask Candace that question. But, you know, I just wanted to just bring up the topic that, you know, in all of my personal financial planning, probably the most difficult of all is when you're dealing with a child who has a parent or a spouse who has, a spouse that's either having cognitive issues or having custodial issues, in other words, unable to bathe themselves other than toilet themselves, feed themselves, you know, walk themselves and so forth, and they need custodial care. And custodial care is not something that is covered under your medical insurance. And this is what everyone needs to understand, is that when you have somebody who can't walk themselves, bathe themselves, toilet themselves and so forth, and you can't do it yourself, you're going to need help, and your medical insurance isn't going to pay for it. And a lot of people don't have long-term care insurance. Even if you did, it may not pay for all of it. And it can get extremely expensive, especially when there's a cognitive impairment. And so you're dealing with an incredible social issue and an incredible financial issue. And you put the two together and you got the most difficult of all situations. This is where a true comprehensive personal advisor working with a team of professionals like somebody like Candace Scherer, who we're going to talk with, and, you know, they can help to bring some of the assistance, at least on the financial side, with the family. So with that, we're going to bring in Candace Scherer. Candace, are you there?
I am here. Hi, Drew. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to have you is you and your law firm, Frank and Scherer. Is that the new name?
Yeah, that's the name, Frank and Scherer.
Frank and Scherer has always been one of the premier elder care law firms in the Baltimore area, you know, so I always appreciate having you on the show.
Yeah, thank you. We have been around and been helping our clients for many years now.
Yeah, I think Jason Frank, who is retired now, was probably considered the foremost expert. So you had a great mentor during that period of time.
Oh, I sure did. And we really miss him, too.
Yeah, and I must say that when we have the most difficult cases of our clients that need help with getting government assistance for elder care, you know, your firm has been the one that has gotten those difficult cases through. And that's why, you know, I know you guys are some of the best out there.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
But like I said earlier, Candace, isn't this probably, I mean, I don't know how you do it day in and day out. I probably only have to work with three or four a year, maybe. And you're doing with three or four a week.
Yeah. It is difficult, but, you know, with experience over the years, we've learned how to especially be compassionate to our clients and have them understand that, you know, how essential we are and how much we can help them, and really trying to simplify things, because what we do for people is quite complicated, but what we can do is help them protect their money, which is so important.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know,
that's a great point. So let me help our listeners. And if they have this type of situation and want help, they can call in and ask. It's 410-922-6680. And Candace will address whatever question you have. But if you have a parent or a spouse, let's say, and or a brother or sister or whatever, and you're caring for them and you know that you need more significant help, like a nursing home, and you can't figure out how you're going to possibly pay for it with what assets you have, or if you know you have enough assets to pay for it, but only for maybe a year or two or three at the most, and then it's going to all be gone, and you're thinking, is there a way that I could get help from the government with this? This is what an elder care attorney does. And here's the question, Candace. So there are these laws and rules that say what a spouse has to spend down in order to get approved for Medicaid assistance to pay the long-term care bills. But Medicaid and the people at Medicaid aren't like when you call up for Social Security and say, hey, I want to get my Social Security check, and they tell you what the rules are and they give you all the explanation. The Medicaid people don't do that. They'll let you spend everything down totally to the end, and then they'll consider, okay, well, you know, if you need help now. They won't tell you the rules. They're not going to walk you through it. That's where you come in.
That's right. And this is an area where you really need to talk to a qualified elder law attorney, because our goal is to make sure that our clients get the best care they can, but at the same time, helping protect their assets, you know, certainly according to the rules and regulations.
Yeah. And there are plenty of rules and regulations as to what you can keep.
Yes. And so I can explain that.
Well, we're going to do that after the next break, because we're only got about 40 seconds for that. So then you're going to explain what after the break, what a spouse can keep, what a child can, you know, children can keep, what a brother or sister could possibly keep, et cetera, et cetera. And the laws are extremely complicated, aren't they? You're going to explain that.
Well, not anymore to me, because, you know, I've known the rules and I teach these rules over many years now. But they are complicated, but I can look at everybody's situation and really come up with a great plan that suits them and that also complies with the rules. So,
yeah. So we're going to go over those rules as soon as we come back from this first pause. But also, if you have this situation, if you have a spouse or a parent who needs nursing home care and you're wondering how you're going to pay for it and what assets you can protect, and you want to call in and ask Candace a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. But right now, I've got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated? Are just a few of the many parts of the physical. The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Candace Scher of the law firm Frank Frank and Scher, and they specialize in elder care planning. That's figuring out how to get Medicaid to pay for the long-term care bills based on the laws and what you're allowed to keep in assets. And Candace is going to explain that. And if you wanted to, if you have any questions, you have a loved one, a spouse with memory issues or custodial care issues, and it looks like you're going to need a nursing home, or they're already in a nursing home, and you're just ripping through the money and thinking, well, it's just going to all go away. You know, maybe you need to talk to Candace. So 410-922-6680 if you want to call and ask a question. 410-922-6680. So Candace, so I'm a spouse and my spouse has cognitive impairment issues. What are the rules? What can I do?
Okay, so your spouse is needing more care than you can provide at home, and doctors are saying Your spouse needs a nursing home because they meet the medical level of care to need to be in a nursing home. So that's the first step, determining that medical eligibility is met.
Okay.
Secondly, you want to look at finances. And the public policy behind the Medicaid program is that they want to make sure that you, the spouse at home, doesn't become impoverished, spending all of your money on paying a nursing home bill month after month for your spouse.
Right.
Nursing homes are, I mean, we're looking at $10,000 up to $15,000. I have a client now who's $35,000 a month because of all the medical equipment they need.
Wow.
So you do want to, yeah, you do want to look at the Medicaid rules. And how they work is that they take a snapshot of assets. And when you're married, you and your husband and wife or wife's assets are looked at in one big pot. So they're going to count things in your name, things in your spouse's name, and anything you own together.
So can I hold you, stop you one quick second, okay?
Yeah.
So let's say that I'm in a second marriage and my wife and I signed a prenuptial agreement. Does that still count?
Well, Medicaid doesn't really accept prenuptial, postnuptial agreements. However, there is a part of Medicaid law where you can, it's called spousal refusal, where you can refuse to participate in the Medicaid program. Now, I only use this under very specific circumstances. Like you said, if there is a prenup agreement that says yours is yours and mine is mine, and maybe you haven't been living together for many years, but you're still married, and you have been keeping your assets separated. In that circumstance, I would use spousal refusal. However, that you, the person in the nursing home has to assign their support rights from their spouse to the state, and the state could come after them criminally.
So okay, so you don't use it very often. Okay,
yeah,
so I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead. And
no, but that's okay. That was a good question.
Okay.
All right, so you've got this pot of assets, and what Medicaid then does is they come up with a number of, in that pot, what assets are countable. Certain things are not countable, like the house, in most circumstances, the house, the car. Cemetery plots are not countable. Certain life insurance with low values or life insurance that doesn't have a cash value, they're not countable. But then they are going to really add up, you know, bank accounts, IRAs, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, any assets you have, they're going to count them. And then the rule is that the spouse at home is allowed to keep half the assets, up to a maximum of $130,380. That number just went up. It goes up every January. So it basically means if you have double that, which is $260,000 something, if you have that amount or more, you're capped at $130,380. But let's say you have less than that, you have less than $260,000, you have to spend down half. So if you have $100,000 in that snapshot, you can only keep $50,000. If you have $200,000, you can keep only $100,000. So what does that mean for you? How do you get down to the $130,000 or the half of your assets that you're required to only have in order to get Medicaid? Well, Medicaid allows you to do certain things. It's a short list, but it doesn't mean you have to keep paying the nursing home month after month until you get down to the $130,000 or the half number. So there's some things you could do. I'll go over the list.
So hold on one second. I got Edward on the phone. I want to make sure we address our listeners' questions also. So if anybody else wants to get in, 410-922-6680, but we're going to go to Edward in Fells Point. Edward, go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you very much for taking my call. My wife is in a nursing home. She's been there for 3 years, a little bit over 3 years. And the nursing home is asking me, or has asked me, to sign over her Social Security, so they're going to take her whole Social Security every month. But they don't use the whole thing. They put the rest of it in a some kind of a savings account for her. Is that legal?
Right. Well, let me ask, who's been paying the nursing home for the past 3 years?
What, you want the name of the nursing home?
No.
Oh, no, no, I don't want the name of the nursing home, but who's been paying their bill? Have you been writing them a check every month?
Well, I did up to a certain point, and then they stopped that, and they started taking the amount that they needed from the Social Security, the monthly Social Security check or deposit.
Right.
Then all of a sudden they said, well, we're going to take the whole thing, and we'll take what we need out of that and put the balance in her in a little bit of a savings account in her name.
Yeah, I think they're talking about what they call a resident fund account.
Yes.
And that's correct, because when you're qualified for Medicaid, you have to pay your income, which could be Social Security and or pension if she had it. You have to pay that amount to the nursing home, and
okay.
Then Medicaid pays the rest of the bill.
Yeah.
But from the Social Security, she's allowed to use $83 every month.
Right.
For personal.
That's what they said, $83 a month. Yeah.
$83. Now, if it's in the resident fund account, they might be using it. For instance, if she gets her hair done.
Right. They would take that.
Right.
I just wanted to know if that's a legal thing, that they can just take the whole thing without me okaying it, or really, I mean, I okayed it verbally.
Yeah,
so it was kind of blindsided
no.
me.
Yeah, you can say no, and you can write the check each month, and you would have control over the $83 allowance.
Well, I did it because I didn't want to start an argument or anything. I didn't really know what my legal rights were. At that point.
Yeah, well, I mean, what you're missing out on is probably not too much, and it's taking the requirement that you be responsible for writing the check every month.
Okay.
I think it's fine that you did that.
Okay. Well, they did that initially. They took that responsibility away from me, but then all of a sudden they said, "Well, we're going to take the whole check whole monthly check." So.
Well, you can ask them why they're doing that. Maybe because they are using the $83.
Well, that's what they just, that's the exactly what they said. They're going to put that $83 in a fund.
In the account. Yeah.
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 You can
always ask for an accounting, because it's an actual, like, bank account.
Well, they've given me that. Yes, they've given me
a yearly
accounting of what's been used for this and what's been used for that. So.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fine. I wouldn't be.
You wouldn't.
No.
All right, Edward. Good question.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Edward.
Okay.
Have a good evening.
And if you want to get online and ask Candace a question about your spouse or your parent or brother or sister is in a long-term nursing care facility or needs to go one, cognitive impairment or whatever, and you're possibly facing big bills, give us a call, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Candace, we're going to have to finish up what the rules are for a spouse as soon as we come back from this next pause. But again, if any of our listeners want to get online, lines are open, 410-922-6680, if you have an elder care question. But right now, we have to go to traffic.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Candace Scherer, Frank, and Sharon. They do elder care law, helping people get approved for Medicaid when they have a loved one that needs long-term nursing care, when those bills can be quite expensive, as Candace was talking about earlier. Candace, we do have Darlene on the line, so I think we ought to address her question first, and then we're going to come back, talk more. Darlene in Randallstown, how can we help you?
Hi, I have a quick question. My father was in a nursing home, and I'm actually still waiting for the paperwork. I never received anything that he possibly signed something over or some type of information, but cognitive-wise, he was not of sound mind, I believe. And so my question then would be, is this legal? Because I have no daughter, so I have no proof or anything that could have been signed by him at the time. Unfortunately, he's since passed. So I'm just trying to find out. I'm trying to acquire the paperwork and anything from the home that he was in. Unfortunately, it was not a good experience, and so that's for another conversation, I'm sure. But I'm just saying legally.
All right. Candace?
Have, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Candace?
Yeah, hi, Darlene. At the time, were you appointed as power of attorney for your father?
Yes.
Okay. And is the paperwork you're talking about like a Medicaid application or an application for admission to the facility? What is it that you're looking for?
He was in one facility, and then from the facility, he was then the care of it. He had to actually be admitted into a hospital. After the hospital stay, he went to a different facility because I wasn't sending him back, because he was not in the condition that we put him in when he came out. The second facility he was put into, he then had to be put back into the hospital. He was admitted, and then records showed that he had, you know, certain issues, whatever. But I'm trying to get the medical paperwork to find out while he was in there. See, COVID stopped us from everything because, obviously, we couldn't go in. So we couldn't see his care. We couldn't see how he was. And then, you know, the 14-day quarantine with each place, you know, they would put him on a 14-day quarantine. And then from there, I would then get a call saying, somebody has COVID. So my chance to even go near him, right, see him, kept getting bumped because of COVID and because of staff situations. But anyway, so now, unfortunately, of course, you know, he's since passed. So I'm trying to obtain paperwork because I'm finding out that possibly he might have signed something. But obviously, I'm learning, because this is new to me, that I lose power of attorney when they pass.
And that's right. That's what I was going to tell you.
Correct.
That a power of attorney is no longer valid once your father died. So now are you appointed as his personal representative in his will?
Well, that's just it. So now I'm going through possible any type of situation, I don't know, litigation, you know, with these homes and with his care. And so I'm just trying to find out, you know, as the daughter, and if that
well,
is something that
you
were
would
having.
Need, yeah, I mean, we just by virtue of being the, you know, the daughter does not going to authorize you to get the information. But if you are named as the executor, the personal representative in his will, or if there's no will but you can still be appointed that, then you would be given, it's kind of like an after-death power of attorney. It's called the letters of administration, and that would authorize you most likely to get all this information that you're looking for.
So then if my mom obviously is still alive and has that, can I assist her in obtaining this information?
Yeah, if she's the personal representative, she's the one who has to request it. But you have to open up an estate to be appointed.
Yeah, but if
for her to be appointed,
if Darlene is second as the executor in the will, the mom could resign and make Darlene primary, so she doesn't have to go through mom.
That's true.
And that's just something to talk to the people, the estate planner, you know, the one that obviously.
Yep. Whoever wrote the will, you want to talk to him. But if mom's first, she could resign. And if you're second, you automatically become it. And then you don't have to worry about having mom do things and you sit there and coach her along the way.
Eight-wise, too. Great.
All right.
Okay. No, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Good call.
You're
question.
Welcome. Bye.
All right. We're going to Jim in Ellicott City. Jim, how can we help you?
Yes, I was listening to the discussion about nursing homes, long-term care. I've got a question. Have a 94-year-old mom. She's been in assisted living, but her ADLs, she needs all six of them, okay? But she's not in a nursing home. Okay? She's in an assisted living home, but in a dementia care facility. So our elder care attorney back in 2013 suggested putting her on.
I don't know what happened there. All right, Candace, are you back?
Yes, I'm back. I'm
back. Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Jim. Start over, sort of.
Hi, Jim.
She got a little
Candace.
Bit.
This is Jim in Ellicott City. I've got a question. 94-year-old mom. She's been in assisted living 6.5 years. She has dementia, probably Alzheimer's. But anyway, assisted living, dementia care unit, 2013, elder care attorney suggested putting her on the Community Options Waiver Services Registry, because it takes a long time to come up where you can apply. So I just received a letter last Thursday for her to apply. Okay, mm-hmm. They're accepting applications at this time. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm somewhat confused by it because it talks about long-term care, talks about nursing homes. So I don't really know if, and at long-term care, it seems like it only provides benefits if you have health care providers come to your home of residence to
No,
care.
That waiver, the community options waiver, will pay for assisted living or home care. But your mom, so she could stay in that assisted living only if it's certified to accept Medicaid benefits.
Okay, and I know for a fact
still has to meet.
It is not. Okay.
It is not. So she would have to move
to
a certified assisted living. And she also has to meet the requirement. She has to have assets under $2,000.
Okay. Now, she has about $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
But I read that, you know, her income is just Social Security, mm-hmm. and she also has a VA benefit because my dad served in the Second World War.
Uh-huh.
I looked at the income limit, and she meets that, but the assets...
Hold on, Jim. Go ahead, Candace.
Yeah, the only thing I can say, it'd be easy for you to spend down $7,000 to get down to $2,000.
Oh, yeah, that could occur in the next
that's
week.
That's not going to be a problem.
Right. I've been paying her bill for the most part, because she also pays her Medigap premium. It's about $3,200 a year. So I'm pretty much covering that, about $50,000 a year, okay?
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Okay. So it's about $6,000 a month for her there, okay?
Oh, my.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I would typically have asked you a while ago? Is she at a high-level assisted living? Because
she's at the maximum right now.
She's at the max because what she could have likely done is moved from assisted living to a nursing home where she could have gotten Medicaid and then, you know, we could have helped spend her down and stopped you from having to pay for her care.
Yeah,
but
well, we've been on the
back,
list.
I'm just saying that.
Now, what she's saying, Jim, what she said is that you were on the list for that other benefit. If you would have just gone to full long-term care, they would have paid the bills immediately 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Possibly. If she met level and we could have gotten her spent down.
Yeah, and I think that's what happened. And
that's
why I always go to the best when I go to Candace.
Well, the thing that doesn't make sense in there, it's just sad that Medicaid pays for, if you qualify for Medicaid in a nursing home, your care is going to be paid for. But if you're in assisted living or home, there's a waiver program where benefits become available every so often, so like block grants of money. So that's why, Jim, your mom's been waiting a long time for her name to come up on this.
Yeah, so you got part of the story. You didn't get the full story.
Ah, so should I go ahead and apply then?
Absolutely. Yes. But you got to get her to a facility that accepts Medicaid, as Candace was sharing.
Yeah,
saying.
You've got to
find
somewhere. Or she can go to... if you can't find, because it's hard to find assisted livings with, they only have a couple rooms usually that are Medicaid rooms. So you may also at this point want to look at long-term care in a nursing home. So I'd be happy to help you and answer more of your questions if you want to call my office.
Okay. Yeah, give them your number. Give them your number, Karen.
410-337-8900.
Okay, 410-337.
8900. 8900 it is.
337-8900, 410, right?
Yep.
And it's Candace.
Yeah, 410-337-8900. Yes.
Hey, very good. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Well,
all right. You're welcome.
Thanks, Jim. We got to take another pause. Ed in Dundalk, I hope you'll hold for us, and we'll be right back. Get your question as soon as we get back. But right now, I've got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Candace Scherer from the law firm of Frank, Frank, and Scherer. And Candace, before we go to Ed real quick, hold on with us, Ed. Why don't you tell everybody again how to get in touch with you at your law firm? It's called Frank, Frank, and Scherer. And what's the phone number again?
410-337-8900.
Okay. You know, and as I always teach people, anytime you do radio, you always want to say that phone number twice in a row, not just once.
Okay. It's 410-337-8900.
Okay. 410-337-8900, right?
Yes.
All right.
You
Frank.
Can find us online at frankelderlaw.com.
FrankElderLaw.com. That's F-R-A-N-K?
F-R-A-N-K-E-L-D-E-R-L-A-W. All one word. Frank Elder Law.
Care. Okay. And we're going to Ed in Dundalk. Ed, how can we help you? Thank you for holding.
Good evening. I'm on a community options waiver. I'm sorry, a community first choice waiver, which allows me to live in my private home with assistance from the state. They sent aides over to help me. Now, my question is, I finally got out of the nursing home, which was a blessing because it was like being in a prison. They actually were holding me against my will. I actually had someone stand in the doorway and say, "You're not leaving."
Well, probably because they can't allow you to go home unless you have proper care when you get there. So they have a responsibility to make sure you're taken care of.
Well, I mean, the aides wouldn't even help me go, and like they wouldn't help me even cut my food. I only have use of one arm. I'm in a wheelchair. You couldn't get them to do anything. And I'm
terrible.
Just glad I'm gone. But I'm home now, and I was promised that I would get MTA mobility to help me get to my doctor and physical therapy appointments. That hasn't happened. My home has three levels. Because I'm in a wheelchair, I can't use any level but the level I'm on. And I was hoping, do you have any advice where I can possibly get a government-subsidized apartment in the community instead of being in this huge house that I can only use one floor and can't get around in anyway?
No, I don't. Are you a veteran?
No.
Okay. What about selling your house?
Well, I could do that, but then I would need a place to go where I would get the care that I need.
Have you contacted social services in Baltimore County? Is that what you're in, Baltimore County, right, Dundalk?
Yes.
Have you talked to them?
I was thinking more or less like a housing voucher or something, maybe.
Yeah, but they're the ones that would help you with that. Baltimore County Social Services, Department of Housing.
I'm told that if I move anywhere in Maryland, my community first choice program would follow me.
Well, that's true, but remember, if you sell your house and you don't spend all the funds on your new house, you may have extra cash that could disqualify for you for the program, so you have to be careful.
I'm glad you said that, because one spend-down idea I learned that I'd like to share with the other listeners is, if you have money to spend down and you have a mortgage, just pay off part of your mortgage. Spend it down that way. At least the money's going to help you out.
Thank you, Ed, because that was really what I was wanting to tell the listeners, that paying off debt is one wonderful way to
pay it off anyway.
Spend down.
That is true. Ed, thanks for your call. That was a good one. I appreciate it. Good question. Yeah, but, he's absolutely right. Paying off your mortgage is a great way to spend down, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And you see that quite often, actually. People come in and they might have a house worth $400,000 and $150,000 of debt still on it.
And the house is a protected asset for a spouse, right?
That's right. That's right.
And then actually a protected asset for a single person to some degree.
Right. If you're single and you're in a nursing home and you have a house and it's just in your name, the risk you have if you keep it is that Medicaid could place a lien on the property. And they'll want that lien to be paid off when the property sells, or if you die, they'll make a claim against your estate to be paid off before any of your children or other beneficiaries can get the proceeds of sale. So usually when you have a house, there wouldn't be any reason for you, unless there's a good reason for you to keep it. Selling it might be advisable, and then going into a gifting plan so you can protect some of the assets. And that's where I can really be helpful, is guiding you on how Medicaid's gifting rules work.
So I did hear years ago, I heard a person say that if a single person, you know, and the state builds up a lot of liability against the house because, you know, you kept the house and they're leaning against the house for all your care, but then, you know, within 2-3 months of your passing, the family brings you back to the house to pass away with in hospice and so forth, that somehow or another those liens could be wiped out. Is there any truth to that?
It depends on the circumstance.
So it's one of those types of things.
Yeah, that gets a little complicated. There's certain reasons why a lien wouldn't be placed, like if you had a dependent or a disabled child living in the house.
Now, that's a great one right there, is that if you have a disabled child and you're in need of nursing care, you could pass a large sums of money to your disabled child and immediately become eligible for Medicaid. Is that correct?
Yes, that's another public policy behind the program, that if a parent is in a nursing home and they have a child who has a disability, which has to be proven most typically because they get Social Security disability, all assets can be transferred to that child without any penalty for the parent from getting Medicaid.
Large sums of money. Hold on a second. We got Jason here. We're going to go see if we can get him. Jason, we only have about 2 minutes, so talk quickly. Jason? Jason, Owings Mills. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hi. Maybe like the last thing you were just talking about, I'm 60 years old, and I have a 10-year-old son who's like mentally kind of slow, and we're not sure he's ever going to be able to live on his own. So long-term care is a real issue here, and I just don't know even where to begin, like to provide for him, how to think about, like I said, legal issues, accounting issues, tax issues. Where can I go to learn something more about it? Because I know there's a big issues coming down the road for my son.
Yes, that's another area of law that my firm handles, and that's planning for someone just like your son, which involves looking at programs for him, whether there's looking at a need for guardianship as he gets older. And then we have to look at planning that you need to do, because you have to consider if you were to die, what you want to do to make sure your son can get the benefit programs, and getting an inheritance from you won't jeopardize that for him.
So tell Jason
so
how
call
he
me.
Can get in touch with you. Give him your number again.
410-337-8900.
Okay. I got that. That's great. Thank you very much.
All right, Jason.
You can talk about tax.
You're welcome.
Too,
Take
I guess. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Thank
All right.
you.
Yes. 410-337-8900 if you want to talk with Candace Sharon, you have an issue with elder care and so forth. Candace, every time I have a great guest, the time flies very quickly. We're already finished. The show is only 30 seconds left. So.
Oh, that's too bad.
I wish we could do it for 2 hours, you know?
Yeah, so important. People have so many questions, and nobody knows the answers. They've got to seek a professional to be informed.
Yes,
and to have things explained to them.
So Candace Scher, her firm is Frank Frankenscher. That's frankelderlaw.com, right?
That's right. That's right.
frankelderlaw.com. Anyway, 410-337-8900. Candace, I really appreciate it. This is Drew Tignanelli.
Thanks for having me. Thank you so much.
Saying God bless. Things are going to be much better.